Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Chris, Lauren, and Steve. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. On today's show, we're going to be discussing a few more things that we saw on our recent trip down to Disney in Orlando. And today, we're going to cover the new Test Track attraction at Epcot. And we're also going to go over some of the things we saw at Splitsville, which is over at Downtown Disney. And we did get a chance to experience the new Pirates of the Caribbean attraction at Hollywood Studios. So let's get going. Epcot, let's go over there. Steve, give us your first impressions.
The reimagined Test Track. And I don't, you know, all right. Well, first off, we got in for a late night party with the media event, and that was pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
It's, oh my God. They took over that whole entire section of Future World from like, the energy, Universe of Energy pavilion all the way through to Test Track. And they had food set up everywhere, drinks, shrimp, desserts.
It was a club.
Yeah, and it was definitely
it was really cool.
A Tron themed, where everything, they had, of course, all the General Motors Chevrolet cars there with neon lights in them, and all the tables glowed different neon colors, and all the displays, and everything had this Tron feel. Even the monorail beam had things projected on it with those high power projection units they use on the castle. And then they had a stage set up in front of Test Track where they had a DJ, and then later they had a band. So it was definitely pretty cool. Lots of food, lots of glowing blue and green drinks.
Yeah, it was good.
Definitely.
So after all the food and the drinks and the loud music, they did eventually do the presentation for Test Track, and they let us in. And what's unique about it now, or different, is you have a choice. You can either go the normal way, which is where you design your own vehicle from top to bottom, or you can go and what ends up to be a shorter line and pick a pre-designed car, and you can go that way. We did both ways, and you're both lines end up in the same place. You're still going to get to the ride in the end. But you're definitely going to get there a lot faster if you take that shorter line.
Yeah.
And take
the shorter line is Fast Pass or Single Rider. The Single Rider Fast Pass line lets you get a pre-designed car and get on quicker. And then the regular standby line, you go through the full.
So the regular standby, you have to take the design your own?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't get that.
And then the Fast Pass or Single Rider, you get to pick a pre-done car.
So if you're going to take Fast Pass, you don't get to design, period. Okay.
So you can do it once, design your own car. Some people are keeping their little plastic room key type keys and keeping their cars if you're really into it.
I didn't realize you could do that.
It'll hold the design that you did.
So every time you ride it, you just take the same design with you?
Yeah, and then you could... And then
you go in the short line.
And you could go if you really love. I mean, if you're like into Sorcerer's Apprentice or whatever the one over at Magic Kingdom and with
Sorcerer's
the cards
in the kingdom.
Yes.
Thing.
And if your kids are really into it, and you've got some boys who really love designing their car and don't want to give it up, and they're going to come back, you know, they're annual pass holders, then maybe you'd keep it. And then in the post, the designing your car gets more into the post thing than I think it does in the ride, but we can talk about it through the ride.
Agreed. I don't think it has any effect on your ride whatsoever. I don't think that it can, because you've got six people that ride in a car, and if those six people, or even two groups of three, design a car, you're still riding in the same car.
Yeah.
You can't have one that's built for speed and one that's built for performance. So... I don't think there's any bearing on the ride whatsoever. But when you do get to the ride, the cars look really cool.
Yeah, the
cars
are cool.
They're really pumped up and they look nice.
And there's no pre-show anymore. So the designing is basically your pre-show. You go in, you go to a kiosk, you spend probably 5 minutes, you know, putting the
wheels
on it, designing how aerodynamic it is, putting the engine in, the color.
The grill, the everything, the roof, the tail end.
You can do the whole, And then it puts everything. It on a key card, and then you walk out of that room, and you're in the queue line to ride. And then before you ride, you touch the card to this little glowing device.
Little receptor.
Yeah, and then that, when you're in line, and then that loads it into the car.
That's right at the loading, like at the gate right before you step on. So then you're going to go ahead and get on the ride and buckle, of course. And you still have the safety belt check, so you go up there. And the track itself is the same. They didn't change the track for the most part, I must say. There were a couple things that were noticeably different, but...
Well, it's not bumpy in the bumpy spot, but it's the exact same track layout as it was before.
Right, they just kind of adjusted some things, but... I think the only thing that you really notice is it's perhaps a smoother ride, and it doesn't have those bumpies. So
yeah, so if you remember the old ride, you're like, okay, this is where the anti-lock brake test was.
Yeah,
and this is where we went through the heat room and the cold room and the robot that's going to spray the chemicals on you.
Corrosion.
Yeah, so you go through all the same areas. They've just been rethemed.
Yeah, so it is based on weather and... Just so Tron-like with all the neon, and it's a very dark ride. You can't see very far in front of you. They still have the semi-truck that tries to get you, and you swerve out of the way. But the track outside is... Did it seem faster to anyone else? Is it just me?
No, it's the same. I think
maybe
it's
I was
the
just
same.
Hyped up.
I think it's the same ride.
It's exact. Yeah, everything's exactly the same. It's got a Tron feel, you know, inside of a computer type. Feel lots of high graphics, lots of neon.
It to me, it felt a little bit like when you're going through the initial parts of it. It felt a little bit like Space Mountain, not the actual ride, the look.
Okay, because it was dark and
the glowy lights and I don't know. It just had
that first tunnel, that initial tunnel.
Yeah,
I could see that,
but otherwise.
And it was fun. We did it at night. So it was nice because we're like Lisa was pointing this out. When we're in the ride, it's, you know, pitch black. And then when the doors open and you're outside, it was nighttime. So it all kind of flowed. Yeah, it flowed together.
It's probably not going to be as smooth if you go in the daytime because you are in this dark ride and all of a sudden, bam, you're hit with this wall of sunlight and... You know, kind of takes away from the effects, I guess.
But it's pretty cool. I don't know. I'm kind of, it's tough because, you know, they probably spent a ton of money designing the original ride. And then when they refit it, they have to keep some of the things like the existing track and, you know, maybe, so they have to work around certain parameters. So they can't really, you know, they have to have those three rooms that they had before. You know, and then they have to work all that into the story. And sometimes they stretch a little too far to try to make some of that fit into the story.
Yeah. I don't think it's anything to jump up and down about. It's neat. But is the ride itself any better than it was before, thrill wise?
Well, in my opinion, I like the fact that you don't have to go through that whole pre-show
the whole movie
anymore.
Yeah, because after you've seen the movie so many times, you're just like running to the other door waiting for the door to open.
Yeah
like
on Rock and Roller Coaster, you just head over there, or Tower of Terror, to the back door.
Yeah, because you've seen it so many times. But
yep,
I mean, it's fun, and I'm glad they've redone it. It'll have, you know, an hour wait, 2 hour wait for many, many, many years to come. So it's all cleaned up.
But I think there may be some disappointment because it's not, oh my gosh, this is completely redone.
It definitely has a facelift on it.
That's what it is. That's all it is. It's a facelift.
Yeah.
It's a good
one. Yeah, nothing major on it.
In the post show, if you like that kind of stuff.
That's kind of gotten better.
You know, if you have the time, that's where I think it's fun. If you have boys and you want to play with a car that you've made, you can go and race the car. And Lisa said if you have girls you can do it too, so yes, you can if your kids or you can go and race the cars on these different tracks by touching your card.
And they're projected images of the design that you did.
Yeah, so they're super futuristic.
So this is where you're actually going to see the design that you did. You're not going to see that throughout the ride. They have, throughout the ride, almost like racing. Well, it's not racing. It's more like rating.
Yeah.
They rate you, your car versus the other cars, on how you did as far as performance and maneuverability. Yeah. And you're not always first, which is interesting. But I think they compare the different cars that were designed.
Yeah. So if you have six people in the car, it'll compare. When you do one of the tests,
mine to yours,
you'll
to
see a big TV screen at the end that shows 1 through 6, and it'll show a picture of your car, if you remember what your car looked like, and who came in first, second, third, all the way to sixth for each, for each test.
But
it's hard to even make that correlation until you've ridden it a bunch of times, and then you figure out what they're even trying to do there. But yeah, the post show is kind of cool too, and you can design cars in there. And they, of course, they have the showroom, and then they have the shop, like they used to.
Oh, there's a huge exit after the ride. The next thing we're going to talk about is Splitsville, and this is Disney's new. It's a bowling mecca area, because it's bowling, and they've got lots of pool tables in there. They have food and drink, lots of music. They have shopping a little bit. So it's two levels of just fun. They have 10 lanes on the bottom level, and they have 20 lanes on the upper level. And they're kind of spread out. They're not all just like a standard bowling alley where everything is lined up. You've got 6 over here and 8 over there, and it's kind of broken up, which is nice. It makes it different. But It's great. It's a nice little bowling alley. The bowling balls have, most of ours had Minnie's face on them. I didn't see any with Mickey. Or they have the Splitsville logo on them. So.
Yeah, or a cute saying.
Yeah. It was cool. And they have the tables where you can eat, right there by the alley, by the lanes. And, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's very upbeat. It's very modern. It's fun. And the food was actually very good. We got to sample a few things, and the pizza was good.
I thought the burgers were good. I thought the pizza was good. Everything I tried was, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
That whole place was like, and I think everyone can kind of agree, like, of the three events we were able to do, in some ways, I mean, obviously being able to go to Fantasyland was awesome, the test track thing. But the one we didn't expect to be really good was Splitsville, and we loved it. I mean, I don't even bowl, and it was just fun to watch all of you bowl and have fun and eat.
Lauren, Sophie got a strike.
Yeah, she did. But wasn't that the one where you guys had that little thing out?
Oh, the little ramp?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used the little ball ramp, but that doesn't matter. She got a strike.
Yeah, she loved
that.
Don't
take away from
that. I mean, and see, it would have never occurred to me to take my family bowling at Disney or ever. Now I would definitely go. I think my kids would love it. I hope they don't expect me to bowl.
Yeah.
But,
that's
nice.
Part of the fun.
For a rainy day, that could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah,
it's a good rainy day place.
Or even if you went during Christmas time and the parks are packed and you want to get away from the all the crowds, or it's freezing cold or super hot.
Yeah.
It's a good day activity because you can get a lane, and it's really nice. It's got downstairs, it's got a nice lobby area, and there's a sushi bar, there's regular bars, there's outside dining up top on
patio.
Yeah, there's like outdoor patios that like hang out over the downtown Disney area. And then there's a lot of different TV screens with sports and things going on, and then they've got all the pool tables. But it doesn't feel like, people are in there. It doesn't feel like a bar where people are going to be in there smoking. It's like a family feel.
It does have a family feel. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and they have a ton of bowling lanes downstairs, like Lisa was saying, and then they've got them split up upstairs as well. And they've got a lot of tables right next to where you're bowling, so you can order food.
Let me ask, did Chris or Steve, did you have the nachos?
I did not.
I didn't have the nachos.
I had pizza and burgers, and I never did get over to the sushi stuff either. And then I think I had some desserts.
You know what was interesting is the sushi bar was like the one thing that didn't seem to have a line every time I walked past it. You should have checked it out.
That you can just grab and go. I was just going to point out the nachos, they didn't do much for me at all. I wouldn't even get them if they were free. So
yeah, they look kind of disgusting. But the pizza was good. I'm very picky about pizza, and I thought it was pretty darn good.
Yeah, pizza
and
the was burger good. Was good. The burgers the were good. The
burger was really good.
Yeah. What else did they have? They have cappuccino. I actually ordered one for Steve, but then they told me the machine was broken. Nice start.
Then that's a good point. So they actually opened to the public. This was a preview. So they opened to the public on December 19th.
Yep. So not too far away.
And the other thing that's cool is it's when you're bowling, if you have kids, is you can set the lane up so the bumpers pop up automatically.
For their turn only.
Yeah, so they don't get a gutter ball. And then you can also get these little metal ramps if they can't throw the ball, and they can put the ball on the top and roll it. So that worked out nice.
And that way you're not waiting for a ball to go slowly down the lane.
Yeah.
Because it's got the momentum when it goes down the ramp. And, you know, if you've got the railings up on the gutters, they're going to hit something, which is great. They're going to hit pins.
Yeah.
It's hard to screw that up.
And then they automatically go down for the next player. So it's really neat.
Yeah. You just ask and they help you. And you know what was the best part about that whole thing? Knowing that no one has been in those bowling shoes except me.
Those were hideous shoes.
Well, they're bowling shoes, so they're.
Well, they're, everything they is like retro.
So you won't steal them?
Everything has like a 1960s feel. The light fixtures, the logo, the shoes, the bowling balls, everything.
Yeah,
it was kind of neat.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was definitely the one that I wasn't really excited about, and ended up being kind of the most fun because everyone got to sit down, relax. And we spent 2 or 3 hours in there.
We spent about 3 hours in there. And it was funny because we only bowled one game.
Yeah, because we were talking and they had a DJ playing really good music. And yeah, the whole thing was nice.
Yeah, it was. And it's not to say that that's exactly the way it's going to be when it opens to the public. But if it is, it'll be nice. With the nice music going. And I mean, I think I even heard Chris singing along to a couple of the songs. Okay, so the last thing that we want to talk about on this particular show is going to be our experience over at Hollywood Studios. We went to see the Pirates of the Caribbean, The Legend of Captain Jack Sparrow. And this is where Narnia used to be.
Yeah, kind of back there by Toy Story.
It's right next to Toy Story. And, well, we couldn't get fast passes for Toy Story, so we went on this. But I've never seen such lines when it was Narnia, but we had a good size line.
It was about a 30-minute wait.
Was that all? I mean, my gosh,
it was 30 minutes.
It seemed like it went so slowly.
It did. But it was about a half hour because I remember y'all had to leave and I remember looking at my watch my phone and thinking, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, we ran. But yes, so yeah, the line doesn't move, so that's why you think it. Because they let in a big group and then everyone waits. And then they let in a big group and everyone waits. Yeah. And so you're not constantly moving like you're loading a regular
attraction.
It's not
a continuous ride or anything like that. But you first get into a pre-show area where the skull talks to you for something about being a pirate. Are you ready for being a pirate? I don't know, something like that. But then you go into the main grotto, and this is where you're going to have the... There's a skull that, you know, that skull that talks to you on the cruise. Well, he's going to talk to you here too. And they've got a ship set up and it looks like it's all dingy and ocean like and rocks and sea spray. And I don't know. Help me out here. And then in the distance, you're going to have the.
Yeah, the theming of the room's really nice. There's like the hull of the ship that's in there with all the sails, tattered sails and everything, and you can see the deck. And then they've got all the rocks and palm trees and skulls and skeletons and treasure chests and everything all around. So it's really themed nicely.
Yeah. And the whole point of this is to see if you've got what it takes to be a pirate on Captain Jack Sparrow's ship. And they pick a little kid who does something with a key.
Yeah, they pull
they
in.
They try and get them to interact a little bit, but that's the only one that they pull in. And then there's some back and forth between the skull, and then you eventually get Jack Sparrow. And there's been a bit of a debate between us. Jack Sparrow was live or...
Well, so the most of the show...
No, he wasn't live.
Most of the show is like
projection. No, he was live.
Most of the show is projection like you see on Cinderella's Castle, where it's they're battling all around you, like the skulls. And then the Kraken comes out and tries to grab the ship and eat the ship. And you have it's definitely targeted towards kids because they're like, okay, stomp your feet to make the Kraken go away. And,
yeah.
And, you know, say I if you want to be a pirate and raise your hand. And so, but it's cute. And it's definitely more than I, it's more than I thought it would be. I thought it would be like, here's stuff from the movie in cases and you're walking through an exhibit.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was so much better than what because I thought it was what you expected as well. But I thought it was really fun. I mean, I thought the effects were great. And I do think it was a real Jack Sparrow.
On the ship, well, they have a winch come up and Jack Sparrow comes up. And I'm like, oh, they have some live actors and they're like they're voicing.
Well, okay, the lady
voiceovers.
Wasn't real, but then he was.
He was not.
They were real.
That was a pre-filmed thing.
It was pre-filmed.
No. Well, now we have to go see it a bunch of times and see what variations there are.
We're going to have to throw something at him.
When he fell down, you could kind of see him moving down there.
On the screen.
There was
screen. No.
They had wonderful shadow effects. No, he was not real.
Yeah, there's so the whole thing is like, pre-done until the two live actors get up there and you're like, oh yeah, they actually have live actors.
Oh please,
and he plays such a good Jack Sparrow.
Agreeing with me? Wait, is the Grizzmaster agreeing with me?
Yep. But the only thing is, then he vanishes like instantly at the very end.
Oh really? That's amazing.
It was amazing. I was like, how did he vanish that quickly?
Let me tell you how he did that.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
He wasn't there.
Okay. No, it was real. Come
Chris,
on, Lisa.
The shadows and everything.
Yes, they did a very good job with the shadows. He was not real.
He was talking to me. He even pointed to me.
Yeah, and he said, hey, Grizzmaster.
He said, come back in 8 minutes and we'll do it all over again.
He did, which was very cute. At the end, he says, why don't you come back in 8 minutes? We'll do this all over again. You know, I'm putting a Jamaican accent on
that's
him.
That's a Jamaican pirate.
I'm going to Google it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start a website. Jack Sparrow is real.
Jack Sparrow alive or dead.
Jack Sparrow is real.
Wait, what is the attraction called again?
It is The Legend of Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. So he was pretty good.
And you know, if you find an answer that I don't agree with, I'm going to have to Google it because I'll think you're lying.
Wait.
It was fun. It was fun to do. It was better than I expected.
It's a live actor.
Yep.
Is not.
That is.
Is not.
Live actor.
Wait. Wait a cotton picking minute. The redhead doesn't appear in every show.
That's Johnny Depp. They filmed him. It's a 3D type thing.
It is.
Well, it's friggin' awesome is what it is.
It's like the ghost.
Steve and I were confused.
It's like the ghosts in the Haunted Mansion dancing. It's like that. They look real.
No, they don't look.
Steve, this
just goes
to show that you need to get your eyes checked.
No.
He is of that age.
Yes.
He was real. He was talking to me.
It was. Did it wink at you?
When he spilled the rum, it like got on me.
Uh-huh. I thought it was real too, Steve, but I have, you know.
But I have to say, I think it was done well, but I don't know that it's worth a long line.
I don't think that you should have crushed my feelings and told me that it wasn't real, because now I'm sad.
Yeah. You're sad because that wasn't real?
I thought it was like, I was like, this is really clever.
You know what? It was real, but it was just a taping of the real.
I know, but it's not quite the same.
It was real at one point.
That's like saying try the gray stuff. It's delicious, and you try it, it tastes like crap.
It didn't taste like crap.
It did.
It was so good.
Seriously, though, I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed. And Steve, I appreciate your childlike awe.
Still real to me.
Still real to me, too.
All right. So that was it.
Thank you, Lauren.
So I would see it. I would see it at least. It was worth seeing.
Yeah. If the line is short, definitely go see it.
I would not wait like an hour for that.
No.
No.
Don't wait
an
hour.
It's like a 10-minute show.
Yeah.
8 minutes.
It's very cute and creative, but I think it's well done, but I think it's going to be like Narnia. I think it's going to be a one and done for most people.
No, I think this will be done again. One thing I didn't like about
it. No. I mean, it'll be a one and done. People will go in once and they won't do it twice.
No, I disagree. I think they will do it twice.
Well, especially if it's different.
Especially if they're trying to figure out if Johnny Depp is live or not.
Yeah, I'm going back.
Do you know what? Do you sit around, like, do you go to the mall and when little kids are sitting on Santa's lap, go, that's just an old retired guy?
What?
Well, because she's like, you know, telling us that it's not real.
Oh my gosh, have I doused your dreams and your fantasies?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Are you confused now?
I am confused.
Okay. But what was I saying? Something very profound, no doubt.
You were going to say, thanks for listening to Mouse Chat.
You want to close the show? You can close the show.
You can download our shows at mousechat.net.
And
on iTunes.
Yeah. What else?
Join us again here.
Who are we sponsored by?
Next time.
By whom are we sponsored?
After you visit pixievacations.com. Join us again here next time on Mouse Chat. All right, now go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's why we don't have him do it.
Maybe Johnny Depp will do it for us.
Yeah.
Will it be live or will it be memorized?
You know, go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and grab it here before Steve starts talking again. I'm going to unplug him, and I'm going to wrap up the show. I would like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can go to mousechat.net, and you can go to iTunes if you'd like to download our shows. Please send us your comments and questions. You can tell us how dorky Chris and Steve were for thinking that this was live. You can send those comments to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.
It looked real.
It was real. He sweat on
that
me.
That did kind of crap on my dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, yeah, that guy's really good.
He did a good Johnny Depp.
That's because he practiced
that,
so much.
20 times a day. I was trying to memorize like some of the moves, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go watch this again and see if he changes it.
See if he falls in the same exact spot.
He falls down a lot.
Whatever it is, it's pretty darn good.